And at 8:47, we'll call the Board of Supervisors meeting to order. Begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Hill, Tiemann, Dorn, Byers, and Lytle. First on the agenda is the consent agenda. Number one, approve the general agenda, approve minutes of meeting held March 13th, 2019, approve all claims through March 27th, 2019, in the amount of $486,929.91. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve declaring 2004 Ford Freestar VIN number 2FMZ A57654BA19865 with 176,395 miles as surplus and place vehicle for sale with Purple Wave Auction. Look for a motion and a second.
I'd move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Hill. Vote. 5 in favor. On the regular agenda, comments from the public. Seeing no public, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
Dave, the expert.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I had several things to follow up with. First, I'll start with, I did have Philippi Electric come. We were talking about changing out the lights. We ran into a little problem just changing out one light in the jail cell. We would need to change them all out because they all have the same dimmer switch control on the outside. And plus the lights are just getting very old. They have been falling apart for quite a while. When I talked to Rob, we went up on the catwalk and up on top of the ceiling, and there is all the conduit is there. It's got space for new wire, so he felt like that would be pretty easy. He'll just run a new wire for that controller. And from what I have in the price, there's two fixtures. One is $106 and one is $128. One is for the bunk area, and then the other is for the overhead light. And so those are $234 for both of them per cell. And but anyway, he said that would be a pretty easy fix. He could get to that next week. I don't have a count on the fixtures yet, so as soon as I get a count, we'll go ahead and order them, and hopefully they can come soon. But regardless, Rob said he could go ahead and get all the wiring run, and then when the fixtures come in, he can just pop them in. So, and as far as the inmates in there, he can do that work up on top without disturbing anything. He would just need them out as he puts the fixtures in. So
that's great.
Pretty short time.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, and I checked on the dishwasher. There is not a 220 breaker available if we do go with the new dishwasher over there, so he would have to install. But he said that was a fairly simple run also. It'd take about 35 feet or so of coax or the conduit coming back to the breaker box, and there is space in the breaker box for more. So if that decision is made to go with a different dishwasher, that's doable at not too much of an expense. So next, I talked to Rich from Aero Architecture. I emailed him, I should say. I have not talked to him. I'm going to give him a call. It sounds like we are ready for bids. He just sent a bill and saying that whenever we're ready to give him a call, but he has not sent down the finalized plans yet, so I'd like to see that. I talked to him about the parking. We talked about parking during committee reports, of just having parking just to that west area so people would not have to back out onto the street.
And so they're real slow taking care of us. Are they someone we still want to do business with?
He's been good, but whenever I email, he does not respond immediately, and usually he doesn't answer the question that I ask. He will just send down more information, it seems like. So,
do we want to try to have that information for the committee meetings on the 8th, maybe? And, you know, if there's any changes before that, maybe we can talk about that, and then we could decide at that time when to put bids out.
I think we would be ready for that, because he came up with a drawing for the roof being raised for that doorway, and then just plans for the parking. And I know, you know, on the inside, that's all been kind of settled, but we were more confused with the other things on how best to do it. So I think that would work. Next committee report.
That'd be good.
Go ahead with that. I talked to Pat Feist about our transformer out there, and he said the city could probably help us out and just put 4 concrete posts on each corner of that transformer, so that would protect the transformer. We still have that post that is for the fire alarm sprinkler system that I think should be protected also, so we might come up with some concrete bollards for that also. So, but I was happy to hear when he said that they could probably help us out with that, give us protection on that.
If you want to do some bollards, maybe give me a call. We might be able to try to get some of those for free or for little cost brought over that way.
Okay.
Are you talking those stone, those big stone-faced blocks?
Yes. Yeah. I haven't really made a decision yet, but I would like it to look nice for the
court. I'd be able to get Rosie to be creative and stain those too. Yep. They can look really nice.
That would be nice. Duralast Roof, I talked to them with all the rain that we've had this year. They're running a little behind schedule, but he talked probably first part of May is when they could start working on that. And on the damage that we do have up there, he gave me some caulking that is for a Duralast roof, and so I did go around to all of those that I could find and put some caulking on for some extra protection in case it does start leaking in there. And I think that's about it. Besides, I talked to Nicole Stoner, and they have a program where they can send a horticultural student down and help out with our around the flagpole area. That's Veterans Memorial. I'd like to see something. We did have a nice flower bed there, and it kind of went away over the years. So they could help us out with that.
Good.
So, and that's about all I had.
You've been busy.
I have been busy. And Rosie's on vacation.
Yeah.
I watch him every day, and he better be busy. He knows I'm behind him.
Well, hopefully we'll get some of through some of the spring stuff.
Yes. I'm hoping for that, too.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Equalization. Everything's equal.
Good deal.
All right.
Finance and insurance.
There's just 3 items that were the high-ticket ones. City Beatrice, quarterly EMS service, $45,000. Department of Correctional Services for boarding, $10,606.23. And then truck equipment service, a rock pup trailer was purchased for $18,000.
Then we did have Jim Overcash down just to give us an update on some Beatrice 6 information as well.
Yep.
Human resource, employee relations.
Nothing.
Law enforcement and emergency management. Lisa is at a preparedness meeting this morning, so she won't be in. She did get some information for us. It looks like Gage turned in $457,000 of upfront estimate damage for the storm flooding. Beatrice was around $200,000. Those are just initial estimates. Vice President Pence was in Nebraska looking over the areas to see what damage there was. We have statewide damage. Luckily, Gage did fairly well compared to other areas. Sheriff, do you have anything for us?
I can recap the Monday meeting if you want.
Yep. I don't have to recap. You can just go the main
$200,000.
So you just hit the big items. You don't have to recap.
Yeah.
Biggest one probably is, well, I was pretty happy about it, was NIRMA. They did their audit. They come down every couple of years, and they did give us 100% compliance on both sheriff's office and detention side. And probably the Chase County versus City Imperial is an ongoing. I guess it ended up with the Supreme Court here in Nebraska, and it really didn't go anywhere. They're hoping a couple new LBs coming up on the floor now will help correct that as far as city, county, who pays for medical when they come in and when they're considered lodged. And the other thing we had was Dave touched base on that with the light fixtures. We had some issues with that a week ago with prisoner doing some things he shouldn't have been doing up there. So if he gets those corrected, that should hopefully eliminate a lot of that for us. So
there'll be four cells that are unoccupied right now that can be used again?
I think it's, yeah. As soon as they get those in secured, then they can get back in. Yep.
Outstanding.
Yep. Good. Thank you.
Sure. I just looked through your patrons of the jail. It just never ceases to amaze me how about 10 years ago when I was on the city council, we had a lot of discussion with the chief of police about how we were, were we focused too much on drunk driving and all that. And I looked through there, and I think there was one person that we have in the facility at this point that's under, and that was a refusal to take a breath test. Almost, pretty much the dominance is either sexual offender or drugs.
Absolutely. That's exactly the case.
We made a comment there years ago, too. There's always if there was nothing to do, that was the easy one to do. So you could always tell communities that were overstaffed or, we were lucky to be underworked, I guess, on that, where there was time for the DUIs. Now there's actual problems that we have to deal with.
And so, yeah, that's the case.
Do you see that population? What have you seen in the last couple of years? Do you think it's steady, or do you think it's something that we're getting a handle on, or is there something more that can be done?
Well, it goes in cycles. There's a little steady increase for us. I heard heroin's coming back again. It always starts on the coast about a year or two later. It's in the Midwest. As you know, I talked about Monday and the process, hopefully, of trying to get next year the one deputy I have, the dregs now, to go full-time on it. He's making a very big impact. He works now on the road, and then on his spare time he does the drugs with the full-time officer they have down here at the city. So I think between them, and we got a good relationship with a state patrol investigator that comes down, works drugs. They just had an arrest here and a search warrant, I think, last week, recovering quite a bit of drugs and over $10,000 in cash. So I think it's making a dent. But again, to do things like that, it costs money. That's the only downside of it. But
I think the legislature is very aware of this and starting to try to do more things related to mental health and the drug use and how we use our resource officers in the school and training them to recognize some of these things that can be very, very valuable to help us deal with those issues. So yeah, the resource officer issue is huge.
It is. Mental health.
Resource officer, but how much we use them.
Yeah, and mental health is, Denny's right, it's just bad. We've got one up at D&E right now that we just could not handle here. If I did, I had to pay somebody 24/7 just to sit and watch him the entire time. We just don't have staff to do it. But yeah, I guess it's better to spend the money, so to speak, than have something happen here, and we're out there on the limb for that. So it's unfortunate, but it's there.
Just looking at allocation of your resources, would it make more sense for that detective to spend his time on drugs and then use his spare time on the road instead of vice versa?
Well, that's what he'd be. Well, you mean right now, currently? Depends how many people we have on the shift. He has a floating shift right now, I allow him to do. If he's got the extra people on his shift, that's exactly what he does. Yeah, right now. Yeah.
So. Thank you, Sheriff. Mm-hmm. Road and Bridge.
We will be accepting bids for three culvert projects that will be replacing timber bridges. The crews are pretty much doing work to repair the flooding damage, hauling spot rock and checking the NEMA-FEMA routes. A rock pump was purchased for $18,000. The township spot rocks are about 25% done. The county trucks, the truck and pups are hauling out of the Hereford Quarry to the northern part of the county, and the straight trucks are hauling out of Sites Quarry, and that's when there's rock available. There's a section of Blue Ridge Drive out of DeWitt that's was closed as of Monday, as well as a section of Southwest 75th Road. And we had quite a bit of discussion about the alternate routes that get taken during the flooding, and if there's anything we need to do to prepare for the next flood when they will be used again.
That's it. And I guess back to law enforcement, I didn't ask, does anyone have any questions on the quarterly report? That
you got that on the agenda.
Oh.
Just got to do that yet.
I'm sorry.
He's going to present on that.
Yep.
Never mind.
You can do that now.
Better be on the ball.
Seems like pretty good response to the flood, though, as far as that goes. Emergency management, county, city, as well as the state, I think there's good communication. Good, I guess, a good response for what has happened. Gary?
I think it's fair to say, since you brought it up, I think it's fair to say that as far as the county and the city goes, I think that they did a really good job. From our emergency manager, sheriff's department, roads department, I'm sure Roger had something to do with it too. Our crew and then the work that they did with the city, the collaboration between the two groups, really good. From where we were 4 years ago to where we are today, I think we've learned a lot. We've moved forward, doing a really good job. I think there should be a shout out to Chief Dakey. Chief Dakey has done an excellent job in ramrodding and being the lead guy on that.
Absolutely.
So I think that should be said.
Yeah, Beatrice Fire, Police Department, National Guard. I mean, all players were at the table, yep, visiting and in communication. So that was really nice to see.
The job that Lisa is doing is absolutely fantastic in helping to bring people together. I think it's just wonderful.
We have a timed event at 9:30. We'll skip past that for now. Courtney's here. We could get the tourism coordinator's report.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so I'm going to present my quarterly report, and I believe you guys should have a copy. So I was just going to touch on a few of them, and then if you have any questions about the rest, just let me know. Okay, so over the last few months, I've done a few tours. I've toured the Capri Inn and Hackberry Bed and Breakfast. I attend CENTEC meetings in Tecumseh once a month. I did a tourism coordinator introduction on Quibi. I've toured the Rice Lodge and Conference Center in Odell, as well as the Old West Trail Center in Odell. Let's see here. Every Monday, I attend NIDA conference calls. And let's see. Once a month, I attend Gage County CVB Advisory Committee meetings. Heritage Highway meetings, where we're preparing Byway Bingo for our 20th anniversary, CENTEC Rebranding Committee meetings, and I've worked on delivering CENTEC sponsorship packages around Gage County. I've toured the Cottage Bed and Breakfast. I've also done an article with the Beatrice Daily Sun regarding tourism in Gage County. I attended Nebraska Tourism Meeting and the Agro Ecotourism Workshop in February in Orton, Nebraska. I've created an itinerary for visitbeatrice.com. I've also created itineraries for the Visit Nebraska website. Sorry, guys. I've done tourism meetings with Jeff Mall and Kelsey Meyer at the Lincoln CVB. I've prepared Byway Bingo sponsorship packages. I've toured Homestead National Monument of America. I've also met with a potential tour operator that could be coming in September to Gage County. I showed them Homestead National Monument of America and the Black Crow. I've attended Main Street marketing meetings. I also went to the Stone Hollow Brewing Company ribbon cutting, as well as Smoke and Fire Cigar Shop ribbon cutting. Been working with Homestead National Monument of America to get a booth at the ABA Marketplace in 2020. Working on rebranding our Visit Beatrice website. I've filled brochure kiosks around Beatrice. I've created a web banner advertisement for Visit Nebraska. And I've also been working on updating our Facebook, Instagram, visitbeatrice.com website, and our events calendar to keep that all up to date for our visitors. So those are just a few of the things I've been doing. Do you guys have any questions on them at all?
Do you see any new trends or anything that we'd be looking forward to out of the ordinary in tourism?
Any new trends?
Yeah, any new trends or any events that will that aren't our ordinary events? I mean, we had the eclipse. I guess that was a one-off. Are there any smaller items or other things that you see coming up?
One thing, I mean, that I know that's coming up is the CEC conference that's coming in April that will bring in a lot of new people. That's the first time it's been hosted in Beatrice. So I think that will be something that I'll kind of market here these next few weeks.
What do those letters stand for, Courtney?
It is the Convention or Community Entrepreneur. Thank you. Thanks, Walker. Connecting Entrepreneurial Communities.
Good. We need
conference.
To learn, remember.
I know.
We're amateurs. We're not professionals like you.
It's kind of a long name, so I tend to forget that one.
Any issues you see coming up or any problems as far as marketing or art?
I know a lot of people have been reaching out to me recently just because of the flooding, and they feel like they can't get to our area. So I know that's something I've been working with, is helping people find areas to get here. But that's kind of been the only thing that's new that has been a struggle for travelers and visitors.
And you're planning for Homestead Days, too, I know,
yes,
ahead of time
correct.
In the parade.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
I know you've been doing that in your newsletter, asking people to let you know so they can be in the parade list, and
yes.
So that's good.
Yep, we've been doing monthly meetings with that as well, and reaching out to people to prepare the parade, and I've been working with the 5K and 10K for Homestead Days. So, yeah.
Any other questions for Courtney? All right, thank you.
Thank you, Courtney, for all you're doing.
Did you want to do the other part as well? We needed to vote on a new advisory committee member.
We'll put this this report on file
okay.
as well.
Okay.
We'll replace the report on file.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Hill. Vote. 5 in favor. Look for a motion to approve or disapprove appointing KJ Patel.
Oh, mm-hmm.
To the Gage County Convention and Visitors Bureau Advisory Committee for a 4-year term beginning June 1st, 2019.
Can you tell us about this person?
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Byers. Discussion.
So we are looking for our second lodging representative for the committee. KJ owns the Victorian Inn, the Holiday Inn, and the Traveler's Lodge.
Okay.
So she has a lot of our lodging here in Beatrice, so I felt like she'd be a good fit for this committee.
That's good. I didn't know that's what she had done.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think it would probably be good to go ahead and discuss. There was some dissension in the ranks as far as moving KJ forward. I think it'd be good to talk about that, Courtney.
Yes, so when I presented it to the committee, a few concerns that they had where she was previously on the committee, but attendance was low and just some conflicts there. So I know that was one thing they were concerned about, but I decided I still wanted to present her, hoping that maybe this would be a good opportunity to give her a second chance to participate in it again.
Probably a good thing relationship building wise to sit down and visit with her about her attendance.
Do you have any policies in place for attendance?
I believe if they miss over half of the meetings that we can ask them to leave the committee and then vote someone new in.
I'd also like to say that Courtney called me and asked me for my opinion on it, and I agree with what she's saying. I think the KJ is probably our choice in this role just because of her ownership of those facilities in town, and I support Courtney in her choice here.
Any additional discussion? Vote.
Hopefully.
5 in favor. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
We did skip over Bruce Wood and Tim Hansen. They had scheduling conflicts. So they we'll try for 2 weeks and see if they can make it in. Sheriff, do you have time in 17 minutes to present your reports?
Best shot.
Mm-hmm. No more, no less.
10 minutes left.
If not, just interrupt us and we'll leave.
Morning, Tony.
Morning.
Does this mean we're going to talk about cutting and stabbing instruments?
It's very possible. That'll be on the, what do they call it upstairs? The screening station.
Okay, third quarter 2018. Bookings, males 180, up a little bit. Female 63, that's stayed about the same. Felonies 157, that went up. Misdemeanors went down 118. Other 26. When I say other, that's going to be like civil stuff. Sheriff's office arrest 108 was down. Beatrice police arrest 131, which was up quite a bit. Wymore police 1. Nebraska State Patrol 7. Alcohol related arrests 27, which was up from second quarter. Average daily population 47, which was up quite a bit from the quarter before. Average outside holds 24 to 23, 24 low, 20 or 33 high. Income from outside prisoner hold, 0. Income from fingerprints taken, 295. That was down. Income from inmate phone usage, 425, 23. That was down. Commissary income, 582, 75. That was down.
What is that down so far?
It depends on how much the inmates purchase. So we just had some inmates that didn't purchase a lot of phone as much as the quarter before. They just didn't purchase phone time or commissary. They didn't order commissary.
So, I mean, it's less than half of the last quarter.
Yeah, it just depends on how much they buy. It depends on what our profit is. So, off of
it. There's a reason why they're buying so much less.
No money, I guess. I don't know. No money. Nobody's bringing them in money to buy stuff. Let's see. Spent outside prisoner holds, $64,430, which was up from the second quarter. But if you go back up and look at the average daily population, we're up there too. So, transport van miles, $10,176, which was up some from the second quarter of 2018. General care, medical, up some. 23,942. Vision 0. Dental 276. For total medical of 24,218.
That daily average is rough. I mean, that's the highest number we see in last year and this year.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, that's. Yeah, and it what we were. 40, I think, is the highest prior to that. Now, this fourth quarter, it should come be down a little bit. I'm starting to get the figures on that. So,
do you know where we're at today, just out of curiosity?
I haven't even been to the office yet.
Population? Population, I'm sorry.
Yesterday.
I haven't been in to see the board yet, so.
I haven't been to see the board yet.
See the Beatrice Police showing 131. That's a big number compared to anything they've ever done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Is that due to the drug arrests? Were those made in Beatrice, or were those in
some?
The
some we
there
made.
There were a
in.
Lot of them that were in Beatrice.
Yeah. So.
That's why your that would be why your felonies are up as well.
That's why I think we should continue conversations with the city of Beatrice on what they should be contributing toward our program.
And I'm not sure what the sheriff found on that for city on the state statutes for that. So
that is more arrests, and I mean I'll be the first one to tell you to leave people alone all the time. But those drug arrests are the ones I don't think there's anyone that doesn't support fighting the drugs, keeping them away from kids. So.
Well. I'm going to be on the road the next several days after a day for two. One was for dispensing drugs in a school zone, which is a pretty high felony. And the second one was for a rather large burglary of several $1,000s. So, yeah, there's just a lot of it out there now. Just a lot of it back.
Burglary, drugs, and unfortunately they go hand in hand.
They do, absolutely.
Those are the two items that I think the public really supports you guys really fighting.
And you can't pick up the Beatrice Daily Sun any day that on the front page of the paper that there isn't somebody featured for drug use and arrest every single day.
You can go to 1011 website and pull it up, and usually there's something on there right on the front, too. So it's everywhere.
But today there probably won't be anything on there.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
The other thing is that as you look at through three quarters where we're at money-wise on outside holds, not for sure where we're at on outside holds for this quarter, but going to be real close to $300,000 on the year. But where after three quarters where we're at, it's $210,000 at this point. So we're going to be real close to $300,000 on the year. Which we expected.
We just know it's part of business, unfortunately. But
yeah, and that's a lot of it population based. We say it all the time, Judge Pike, right here. But it's true. It's depending on how many we have in, depends on what we have to pay.
And Tony and I and guests did meet, and we went over where their budget is, and Don, we went over where their budget is, where what's left, which isn't enough, how we can try to cut. There's little items, but a lot of the things are set. Wages, outside holds. I mean, outside holds vary, but medical, there's things that we have no control over. All we can control are the small numbers, unfortunately.
Outside holds do vary, but we know we've got 15 beds that we have to
make. That's a given.
Mm-hmm. So, and we've got a full. So.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Thanks, Tony.
Okay. Third quarter for 2018 on Sheriff's Office. On calls for service, we had 1,732 compared to 1,892 first quarter, or the second quarter. Accidents, we had 61 compared to 82. Citations, 55 compared to 45. Warnings was 239 compared to 318. Arrests, 196 compared to 171. And again, that ties into a lot of the search warrants we've been doing. Burglary thefts, 7 compared to 12 last quarter. The loss was 4,053 compared to 16,570 second quarter. We had 15,200 resolved and back from the investigation compared to 19,758. Papers served were 245 compared to 240. Warrants was 102 served compared to 112. Fees earned of $2,744.29 compared to $2,003.36. Mileage was earned was $3,079.99 compared to $2,636.58. Coffee money we made was $42 compared to $37. We distress warrants, nothing collected in full, with $78.76 the last quarter. Again, nothing on distress warrants and partial pay. Town inspection money was $3,700 compared to $3,540. Patrol units, miles driven, approximately $78,549 compared to $69,970. Money's reimbursed from grants was $128.96 compared to $200. No meth labs. We had 10 drug violations compared to one. No reserve mileage. Reserve hours were 8. We had billing checks of 30 compared to 132. And over those, 3 were found open compared to 8 last time around.
Sheriff, did you ever look into how many miles driven are to and from home instead of actual patrol miles? Had we talked about that at a...
No. I mean, I'm going to get a rough number. I mean, in town, half of them live in town now, so it's a mile or two. The first one lives out would be probably 18, 20 miles, probably in that area. Yeah, 25, somewhere in that area.
Yep. Nice to see $15,000 of solved crimes. Is that property that's been returned then as well?
Well, recovered. Now, Roger might, it could be pending cases. We don't get released until Roger gives us a letter on it, but that's roughly the number we have from recoveries. And we have some that never gets identified, so at some point in time, so Roger, we're going to have to get some auction or something going because we're running out of space. So, yeah. How are we doing on time? A couple minutes yet?
We're okay. Still good.
Yep. Good. All right, third quarter for last year on the screening station stats. We had 63 days that were staffed. We had 254 inmates brought to the courthouse. 3,000 patrons were screened. We had 744 cell phones brought to the floor. 67 stabbing or cutting tools were found. We had 3 canisters of pepper spray, a taser, and a Cubaton found. 9 people remanded into custody. 7 people were arrested for outstanding warrants. 2 citations were issued, and we had 15 civil process papers served that we picked up on people coming through there. And then Lisa presented a course on National Safety Council traffic safety course to the courthouse employees. So,
what's a Cubaton?
A lot of times it'd be on a keychain. It's about 4, 5, 6 inches long, round. And the idea was you could put it on their nose or put it on their ears, you know, pull them away, get them out of a vehicle, or you could hit them with it.
So something law enforcement uses?
Used to. That was hot now, years ago. We haven't used those for ages. But I was kind of surprised when I saw that because you don't see any of those around anymore. So you might have a couple of them. I don't know. But or might need it a couple, whichever.
Just the ones you dropped in the yard.
Any questions on that? All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
We'll place that sheriff and jail report on file. Do we need a vote on that? Ask for a motion to place those on file.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lyle, second by Dorn. Vote 5 in favor. We'll recess for at 9:25 on the clock for 5 minutes until a timed event for reward awarding or rejecting bids for the culvert projects.
You think there's some legs?
All right.
Run.
Really? We'll come back into session at 9:30 on the clock. Okay. I ask for a motion to close, accept, reject, or award bids for the culvert project C-34, 1132, North 13 Grant, C-34, 1136, C-34, 1139, North 4 Paddock.
So moved.
Moved by Hill, second by Dorn. Vote. 5 in favor.
Should have all the bids.
Do you want to open and read those, John, or do you want...
I can do that. The first one is from Midwest Sales and Service, and for the project number 1132, total bid price is $31,367.76. For C34-1136, total bid is $37,050.50. For project number C34-1139, total bid is $29,926.96. The total for the three projects is $98,345.22.
Could you repeat that, please?
Total for the project is
$98,345.22.
And the next one is from Metal Culverts, Inc. And for project number 1139 is $26,021.00. And that was the last one. The 1132, the total price is $26,810.90. And for 1136, $29,875. Total price of the project is $82,707.40.
What was that total again, John, so I don't have to add it myself?
Add it yourself, okay.
$82,707.40.
Got it. $40.
That's skipping around from one project on the bottom to the top to the middle. Kind of screwed
me
up.
I know it. I opened it backwards.
I think I wrote these down.
Got to keep you. Keep going.
Thank you. You notice this one doesn't have it.
The next bid is from Ace Eaton Metals. And for project number 1132, total price for that project is $31,011.98. For project number 1136, $34,216.44. For project number 1139, $29,767.40. Total for the projects, three projects, $94,995.82. And the last bid is from Contech Engineered Solutions. For project number 1132, total price is $29,660.00. For project number 1136, $31,826.00. Project number 1139, $28,358.00. Total for the project, $89,844.00.
Eric, do you want a motion to just hand these over to Galen and have him look at them?
Do we even need to motion that, or can he just review them quick and give them back to us?
I'll review them and add them up and make sure, check them and
make sure everything.
Condition problems.
Yeah, it wasn't contact. I wrote it down under contact, but it was a different.
Yeah, okay.
I thought you said contact. Kim, do his boss. He can do it.
John, what company did you read second?
Metal Culvert.
I wrote
Metal
it down.
Culverts.
Metal Culvert.
Okay, I wrote it in the wrong column.
Did you have?
Would you like a motion to make a motion to hand these over to Galen and staff to look through them quick and then come back to us this meeting yet with his suggestion as to who we move forward with awarding the bid to.
I'll second that.
Moved by Lionel, second by Dorn. Moved by Lionel, second by Hill to accept these and have them reviewed and handed back to us with a recommendation. Vote. 5 in favor. J.C. Spencer will be here possibly by 10 or so. Supervisor Dorn may have to stay for her. Is there anything else that needs discussion? I know one thing that was brought up. One thing that was brought up is by Supervisor Bauman, our internet meetings, our internet video meetings, are lagging behind a month or so, and he has some constituents that aren't happy about that. So we're going to do everything we can to try to expedite that. I think that's going through NERMA. Is that
no,
the...
It's MIPS.
Or MIPS, I'm sorry.
They should be caught up. They're caught up.
Okay, he called this morning again, so...
I don't have any more to do. I don't know. Okay.
But I mean, efforts being made for that. I don't know if anyone else has anything they'd like to bring up here while we have a few minutes.
I guess while we're stating stuff like that, I did have a constituent that called me complaining because the Daily Sun still has Meyer and Dorn listed as a board member and hasn't changed it to Eddie Dorn yet. So I don't know if that's...
I might
want to check that, Scott.
I see the radio was on top of that and changed it right away.
Thanks for the reminder on that. I kind of...
No, you don't need to type that.
Word for word.
That'll be the headline. Human complaint.
That's something that the Legislative Committee of the Chamber of Commerce should have handled.
No.
Does he really think I'm going to stop?
Yeah, we can.
Who was
that? We will recess at 9:39 on the clock, awaiting a recommendation by the Highway Department. Come back in at 9:58 on the clock and ask for a recommendation from the Highway Superintendent on the culvert bids.
Yes, I'd recommend awarding a low bid for all three projects to Metal Culverts Incorporated for the lowest price of $82,707.40.
I would ask for a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn, to take the low bid for, on all projects from Metal Culverts, Inc. for $82,707.40. This is for the culvert projects, three of them, which will replace three timber bridges.
Correct.
Any discussion? Vote. 5 in favor.
I've got one other thing while we're still, Galen is still here. I forgot this morning, and I forgot it Monday, but I was asking Galen if he'd driven the Holmesville blacktop, and there's a lot of sections of it that just are showing a ton of age, and they, you know, they look like they're kind of getting that dry rot time frame to them. It's both in the area that was milled last fall. There's about 3/4 of a mile in it that's showing a lot of just giving up. But there's also, you know, north and south of Holmesville, the road is just showing a lot of breakup. There's a lot of it that's kind of going down. You get farther south across the old railroad crossing and north of Riverside Farms, and it just looks really, really aged. Like, it looks like it may look like the parking lot south of Risky's. Just going to totally come apart. So I guess I would ask Galen to take a look at it before we meet next time, and we may have to do something with that. And Eric can drive it a few times while he's going to Barnston.
We talked about that a little bit, too, the way that road was starting to move over the winter. It seemed like there was some change. I don't know if that's my imagination or just the moisture in the cracks or what, but I asked Becky. I was on the phone with her yesterday, and she kind of laughed, and I don't know if there is any way, but you and I talked a little bit. Is there any way we can put in for NEMA or FEMA funding for damage to our asphalt roads? Or is that a stretch where they'll say, I mean, that was the idea of the calendars, was just in case there was a lot of extra traffic. I wondered, especially if Ricketts gets that 90% passed, if we could show actual damage to our roads or even a percentage of damage to our asphalt roads. I mean, there has to be some extra wear and tear when the frost is coming out of the ground like that.
I'm not aware of any. It's basically, I know when they come down and look, they're specifically looking for flood damage, what's been caused by flood waters, et cetera. So I'm not aware of anything on that order that you're talking about that I'm aware of.
With additional rock we put on the roads to, say, Linden Road like Linden Road, where we have to put additional material down because of flooding, is that just in the areas that were underwater, or are those in areas that were torn up by the detour traffic?
We're taking pictures of anything that was related to the snow melt and the rain along associated with the flood, taking pictures of all that and keeping track for rock. We'll review all that, whether they accept it all or not, that I can't answer. But we are logging down everything where we're hauling rock on. So, because there's a lot of that big snow drifts alongside the snow melt, then we had all the rain, and then the flooding on top of that. So we're keeping track of all that, and all that material will go to them, and it will be reviewed by them, and we'll see what they allow and what they don't allow.
I'll have another comment when Eric gets back.
Did you get that spot checked out up there that I
yes.
called you on the other night? Was
yep.
it that bad?
There was a two spots in there that needed some rock, but we notified the township to get them smoothed up, and we tried to get it hauled. It's a township road.
It's a township road?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Do you have a map of the county graded roads?
Yeah, I can get you one. Yeah, we have one down there.
Yeah. When they call, that way maybe I can.
No, I'll get you one.
Because most, I asked and he didn't know, but.
Yeah. No, I'll get you the county routes.
And certainly the Holmesville Road is a very aged road as far as the life of the asphalt that's there. I mean, it's got a lot of years on it.
John, did you just call it ancient?
I didn't. Aged.
Oh, aged.
But it is possible we may have gotten a couple more years out of it if we hadn't all this rock had to be hauled right at the time the frost was coming out of the ground at the worst possible time those heavy loads were on there. We may have gotten some more years out of it.
How's your rock supply? I haven't been by the quarry lately. Have they kept up? I know you're only running the straight trucks out of sight, but.
Well, they were shut down yesterday for crusher repair, but they are going again this morning. So up to when they shut down yesterday, they didn't have much of a stockpile. Doad called me this morning, said the crusher's up and running, so we're hauling out there still with our 10-yard trucks and still up to Kerford with our big trucks.
Are they waiting long, or are they getting in and out?
Up at Kerford?
At sites.
The main wait isn't very long. Once in a while, you'll hit a bunch of trucks where you do have to wait still, but most of the time, they say there's only a few trucks in line that they have to wait for.
That's good.
And even up north, if you hit it just right, you may only have to wait for two or three trucks, and if you hit it the wrong time, you may wait for quite a while up north at the Kerford and Pitt. So.
Now, Monday, you were about 25% caught up on spot rock. Is that about where you're at now still?
Yeah, Becky kind of went through the all the spots that we turned in. Roughly, we got about 250 locations yet to address with putting on rock. 95% or better at our township. We did have about 3 or 4% on county roads to address also, along with soft spots that are developing, but the majority is township spots.
I guess before you go, we have our update from Congressman Smith's office. She said she's just a few minutes away, but I talked to Becky yesterday. She has weed meeting Wednesday, Thursday, I think, this week. Either this week or next week, I think
it's next week.
Next week.
Yep.
She said she might, her time might be off or something, because of storms and then being gone, but she said she had stuff she needed to catch up on that Friday, and I said, I think we just have to be understanding on some of that as we have the FEMA and all those reports. I said, if you need her there, then that, you know, that's fine. That's where she should be. I suppose you probably have more important things than hanging out with us to do, so.
I've got a lot of spots to look at yet. So.
Hundreds, I suppose.
Well, yes, unfortunately, yes. So.
All right, well, be careful out there. Thank you, Galen.
You bet. Thank you.
That was JC with Adrian Smith's office when I left the room. She's just a few minutes away, so. Mr. Dorn, you don't need to wait. Wait without us. Do I see tomfoolery in the middle of the meeting? Do you want to recess until she gets here? This might be the most recesses we've ever had in a single meeting.
Or was she when she called you?
She said she was 5 minutes away.
So she'll be here about 10:40.
We'll recess at 10:07 on the clock, awaiting J.C. Spencer.
Yep, I'm ready.
We're on.
We'll go back into Board of Supervisors meeting at 10:13 on the clock and welcome J.C. Spencer for an update from Congressman Smith's office.
Do you want me to come there?
Yes, please. And then if you could give us your name and address.
Yeah, of course. J.C. Spencer, Congressman Smith's office, and then address is 1811 West 2nd Street, Grand Island.
You time Senator Byers told him he'd better shape up, okay?
Okay, I'll let him know.
We served together in the legislature.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Well, so as you all may know, I'm kind of filling in for Jared Reimers today. So he's usually the one who comes and meets with you, but he had to go to D.C. last minute. So I'm here this morning. I did want to start by asking just how the county's doing, if you guys have been affected by the flooding or what kind of shape things are in here.
We got by a lot better than some of the other counties to the north, but the north part of the county had more washouts. The southern part had more flooding, but we're definitely dealing with it.
Yeah, I'm sure then that a lot of the county roads, especially the gravel roads, are washed out pretty bad.
And our preliminary estimate was $457,000 for the county, and the city of Beatrice is looking at another $200,000. And those are preliminary.
Right. I just want to note that down.
Still a lot better than to the north.
Yeah. Well, and of course, I encourage all of you to reach out to our office if you have questions about process and different things like that, or having trouble working with FEMA or NEMA as you're applying for cost share and things like that. Just want to quickly go over kind of an update on what the congressman's working on and how things are in D.C. New year, new Congress. So the congressman is still on the House Ways and Means Committee, and he's the fourth Republican from the top. And with that, he's the top Republican for the Select Revenue Committee, which is the Tax Revenue Committee. They just renamed it. And he's also on the Health Subcommittee. So really great places for him to be on right now, especially if there's efforts, you know, to repeal some of the progress that was made in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. He's in a good place to advocate for those changes to stay in place and to see what more work can be done. Oh, I didn't say this, but my primary role in the office is working on ag issues and ag outreach. So with that, some ag things that are going on. A farm bill was passed in December, and so with that now comes the process of implementing the farm bill. And Secretary Perdue has been giving updates on some timelines for different implementation of the farm bill. So, for example, there will be an update pretty soon on the dairy program, and dairies being able to enroll in the new dairy margin coverage program, especially for farmers around here, ARC and PLC. That sign-up's likely going to happen this fall. I would think that Secretary Perdue said September 1st for beginning sign-up for that. And the big change with ARC and PLC is that in the past with farm bills, you would enroll in one of the programs for 5 years for the life of the farm bill. This time around, you'll enroll for 2019 and 2020, and then from there on out, be able to reelect annually for one of the commodity programs. So just a change to be aware of there. Trade right now. So trade obviously continues to be a huge priority for the congressman. Always has been, always will be, especially these days. And so big thing right now is USMCA, the new NAFTA agreement. It has been renegotiated, and now it's time for Congress to ratify it. The congressman did have a meeting at the White House yesterday with the president. He thanked the president for his support getting disaster resources to Nebraska. And then with that, they were discussing USMCA and just the process to move forward with that and to gain support. And as you all well know, though, that's a really important agreement for us to maintain. Canada and Mexico are especially really important for our ag products and a good relationship that we want to be able to maintain and provide certainty towards our producers for that. In addition, administration's working on negotiating some new free trade agreements. Particularly of importance would be negotiating a free trade agreement with Japan, another area that would be huge for our ag products. As you all well know, we have great ag products here, but we need to be able to compete on an even and fair playing field. And so with that, some of our competitors have gained some leverage in having better market access to Japan lately because of the CTPP, Comprehensive Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership. And so some of their tariffs are going down. For example, the beef tariff right now for the U.S. is 38.5% into Japan. And for some of these countries, like our competitor Australia, their beef tariff is already knocked down to, I want to say, around 28.5%, and it's just going to keep getting lower. So that's a huge thing Congressman's advocating for, is to get a free trade agreement there. And sooner the better on that one. And then also E15. So E15 is currently not available for summer sales. It's blocked by the EPA. And so now, though, the EPA has proposed a new rule to allow year-round sales of E15. With that, though, it has to go through a public comment period process. So I think public comment is open till mid-April. I want to say April 15th. Don't quote me on that. It's on the EPA website. But with that, once the comment period closes, then they just have to take a considerate amount of time to be able to say, we reviewed all the comments, we've considered and weighed them, and then move forward with the rule. With that, it's most likely going to get tied up in litigation and go to the courts. But from everyone I've talked to in the ethanol groups that I've visited with, it sounds like even if it goes to the courts, the rule will still be in place. So even then, it should be able to be available for summer sale.
Other than to our economy, what are the benefits of E15? Or why is there, is that bad to run 15% in the summer?
Or? No, and I don't know. I'm not good with the technical aspects of it because it gets a little scientific, but it has to deal with a high octane level. And so basically, it's just an outdated rule. The concerns that were originally in place for burning E15 in the hot summer months, those aren't concerns anymore. Basically, they've been debunked, and that there's everything wrong with, or everything is okay to burn E15 in the summer. Mostly, the ethanol industry actually hopes to soon have E30 available too, year-round, and change some measures on that. So, shouldn't be a concern. So it'll be it's really just a common sense thing that needs to be taken care of. And then, of course, though, we'll give a nice boost to the ethanol industry. So, Oh, and then just a couple other things, non-ag. The congressman, since it's a new Congress, has reintroduced the bill to rename Homestead Park to Homestead National Historical Park instead of monument. So just a more obvious designation since there is no monument there and more accuracy in the labeling of that. So I know he's been working with the Homestead quite a bit, and they're pretty excited about that change. So hopefully that'll be able to get taken care of this year. And then, you'll forgive me, I have to read this one off my phone. I got the note late. But also just wanted to say that the congressman has reintroduced legislation to fully repeal the Medicare rule that requires doctors to certify upfront the patients admitted to critical access hospitals like your Beatrice Community Hospital won't be inpatients for more than 96 hours at risk of nonpayment. So currently, CMS is blocking enforcement of the 96-hour rule, but hospitals have told the congressman that they want certainty of a full repeal. And so that 96-hour rule, just once again, repealing that is just common sense and friendly towards critical access hospitals. So that's a measure the congressman's been working on for a while.
Well, let the congressman know that he can't forget about support for Medicare and Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
We need it very badly in the state of Nebraska. Our hospitals need it, our doctors need it, and more importantly, all the citizens of our state need his support of those programs. They're very, very important.
Yeah, I'll pass that along to him.
Please.
Any questions or anything?
JC, I talked to the congressman before on this, and I don't know that there's anything that can be done, but here... Engage, we have a federal judgment against us.
Yeah.
And it's going to cost us over $30 million. It's not a county judgment. It's on a federal lawsuit because of civil rights. If there's anything that he could do, whatever that is, to try to help us with that, we're already strapped for money because of that judgment. Now we have floods. We have dilapidated bridges, other infrastructure.
Right.
We're a service organization that takes care of roads, bridges, county processes. We aren't set up to pay huge judgments like that. So if there's anything that he could do to assist us in any way, we'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, of course. And I'll stress that to him and try and work with our staff to see if there is anything that can be done. Personally, right offhand, I have no idea, but I absolutely understand that that's weighs on the county very heavily and makes it hard to take care of other important projects. So I understand. Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
The congressman's opinion on the southern border wall, out of curiosity.
He supports any measures that we can have to strengthen our border. And so that's just a piece of the puzzle in hopes that there can be more support for that. It's very evident that there's issues at our border and also that we need to encourage proper and legal immigration. With that, though, the congressman also always says that our system, to be frank right now, encourages illegal immigration. And so part of the bigger piece of the puzzle is that we need to have some reform there to make the system work like it should be.
What's his opinion on the new Green Deal?
Gosh, the new Green Deal. That it's lofty. No, he won't be signing on to that. No. It's very short-sighted, and I would say expresses ignorance of what agriculture is like in the U.S., especially in Nebraska. Yeah.
So he likes cows that pass gas.
The burp, the belch.
Is that where it comes from?
Yes.
Oh.
Methane releases come from a cow's mouth.
I assumed it was the other end.
It is comparable to belching. Yeah. Which actually, side note, the university, though, in Lincoln is actually doing some research to see if there's different ways to decrease the methane releases from cattle, looking at feed additives and different options to reduce those releases. So that's something the animal science department's working on right now. Fun fact.
Yep. Are there any other questions for JC?
Well, Congressman, we appreciate everything that he does for us in Gage County and the state of Nebraska. We appreciate
it. I'll do that. Thank you.
We appreciate his staff more because we know you do all the work.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for coming down.
Yeah, well, it's great to meet and visit with all of you. Like I said, though, Jared just had to be away for the day, but in general, he'll be around for you guys to touch base with. So,
Jared said, as well as the congressman, they have really good representation here, so we appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Anything else for the good of the order? I'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Doran, second by Byers. Vote. 5 in favor. We are adjourned.
At
10:26 on the clock. Thank you, Don.